What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Psalm 23, from verse 1, read to the last verse. Amen. Praise God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Praise God. I want to continue my teaching on the principles of divine guidance. Amen. The Spirit-led life, receiving direction from God. Hallelujah. Anyhow you call it, it's the same thing. Praise God. Spirit-led life, principles of divine guidance, receiving direction from God. Praise God. Like I said to us, what was uppermost in my heart when I came here is that we take city by following what God says to us. Amen. What he says to us will direct us and empower us to take over. Praise the Lord. The Lord said to Joshua, see, Jericho is yours. The Lord said, we take by what God says. Amen. Now, what God says to you specifically is what you will use to take. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is general what God has said to us all. But to each one of us, there is a city. And if you listen to God, he will tell you the city you are taking. Praise God. God will tell you which one you are taking. So we are looking at that, focusing on principles of divine guidance. Amen. Psalm 23, if you look at Psalm 23, don't go there please, stay with Isaiah. If you look at it, the phrase that repeats itself more frequently than others is, he leads. He leads. Praise God. He leads. He leads. Now, that is repeated severally because that is the message I believe the Spirit of God wants to communicate in Psalm 23. Is the Spirit-led life psalm. Praise God. From beginning to the end is about the leading of the Spirit in Psalm 23. Hallelujah. Maybe one day we'll look at it verse by verse when we get to Cote d'Ivoire. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, but okay, do you have a country like that? Okay. We started looking at it from Isaiah 48:17, and I want to dwell on it this morning. By the grace of God, see how far I can go. Now, God introduced himself six different ways in Isaiah 48, verse 17, and the aim of each introduction is to communicate the last sentence we read here, who leads you by the way you should go. Praise God. Now, he said, who teaches you to profit, comma, who leads you by the way you should go, because they go together. Are you with me now? Praise God. He teaches us, he leads us. Praise God. The leading of the Spirit and the teaching of the Spirit are one and the same. Whatever the Spirit of God is teaching you to do, That is what he is leading you to do. Are you with me? You can hardly separate the leading of the Spirit from the teaching of the Spirit. Amen. In other words, whatever the Holy Spirit has taught you, go ahead and do it. That is direction. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit can teach you personally while you open your Bible to read, or he can teach you through anointed ministers he has set in the house. Praise God. For example, this morning, the Holy Spirit taught us through Reverend Peters about a good conscience. He has just given us a direction. So you don't need to ask, what does God want me to do? Maintain a good conscience. Amen. He cannot teach you one thing and lead you another way. He's inconsistent. Are you with me? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Now, when the Spirit is revealing, he's leading us, isn't it? For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God. For what reason? That we might say it aloud. That we might. So one of the reasons you have the Holy Spirit is to know the things of God. Amen. If you have the Holy Spirit, you are empowered to know the direction God has for you. You are empowered to receive what is of God. Amen. One of his major assignments in us is to guide us. We have received the Spirit that we might know, that we might know. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That we might know. Now, see, I want you to notice. I laugh because it's a little digression. We do not receive the Holy Spirit so that we will know all things. Are you with me? He's not interested in us knowing all things. Apostle Paul said we know in part. Now, but what part are we to know? Read it. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things specifically that are what? Freely given. Not all things. Freely given. Freely given. That means whatever the Holy Ghost reveals is yours for the taking. Oh dear God, I wish somebody had that. Whatever he reveals is yours for the taking. If he brings any revelation, it's yours for the taking. He reveals a city, it's yours for the taking. He reveals any light, it's yours for the taking. He does not dwell in us so that we will know all things. He doesn't reveal all things. We have the Spirit of God that we might know. Hallelujah. That means you have a right to the Spirit of knowing. See, I know. Because I have the Holy Spirit. Now, we have the Spirit, and he reveals to us what is ours for the taking. Are you with me? It's not everything that the Holy Spirit reveals. Please, let's go to Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. All right, see with me. See with me. Let's read slowly. I want to say something that will bless you now. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. In other words, anything you are not supposed to partake, the Holy Spirit will not allow you to know. Secret things belong to the Lord, but that which is revealed is for us. Is for us. Whatever the Holy Ghost reveals to you is yours for the taking. Dear God, help me talk to someone. Holy Ghost does not reveal anything for entertainment. It is yours for the taking. If it is not yours, it will pass by you. Even if the minister intends to share it, when you're in church, it won't be mentioned. But that is yours, he allows you to hear so that you will partake. Are you hearing me? Okay, let me begin from simple things that we can all relate with. You know why? Before you got saved, you get to church or you read a book, somebody talked to you, the message of salvation was revealed to you. You know why? Salvation is yours for the taking. Good. You now know why healing and health is revealed to us, is teaching. Why? Healing is yours for the taking. You now know why we have a revelation of blood money. It is yours. Do you now know why God, through his servants, the Holy Spirit, brought a theme to us? The city is yours. Because the city is yours for the taking. Say an amen, somebody. Amen. When you come to church, listen to me. I have the permission of the Holy Ghost to say it. When you come to church and you hear a minister or a brother testifying how the Holy Ghost reveals something, and by that he got a house, is because house is yours for the taking. Revelation are not for your intimidation. They are there for your possession. So when you see somebody revealing how to get a house, God is telling you, house is yours for the possession. It's yours for the taking. Am I hearing an amen in the house? There is no use the Holy Spirit permitting Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Dr. Oyedepo telling us about how God blessed them with the private jets if it is not ours for the taking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Secret things belong to the Lord. But those things which are revealed belong to us. Say to us. Say it again. Say to us. That means anytime the Holy Ghost brings a revelation, it's time for possession. And I see us possessing things after this faith adventure. It's what is yours that he brings your way. And I tell people repeatedly, it's good you know. God does not allow anyone to share a testimony to intimidate you. Are you with me? Testimonies are not for your intimidation, nor oppression. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, since I married a Yoruba woman, I've been learning Yoruba expressions. Amen. And I found out, I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Yoruba people, if you just make an expression in their language, they'll be very happy with you. Like my mother-in-law, if I just say, Eka Roma, she say, eh-heh, now I know you're a good son. Keep learning the language. Praise the Lord. So, in English language, when you tell somebody congratulations, the answer is just thank you. So I got used to that too. They say congratulations, I say thank you. One time, I was greeting my mother-in-law about something. I said, congratulations. She didn't say thank you. She said, are you Akari? I said, huh? She repeated. I said, no, ma. It's Joshua that is talking. It's not Ayo. Joshua says, congratulations. She said, are you Akari? You know what that means? The joy is going round. Now, what they believe, and I think it's a good belief, that God being a loving father, if he blesses Rev with something, blesses Reverend Tokula, and keep my head, then I will judge him of partiality all my life. So, in a simple Yoruba belief, if you see God blessing your neighbor, it means God is in your neighborhood. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? So, testimonies are shared so that they will go round. My God, God allowed me to say that yesterday morning. He's coming back again. Testimonies are shared so that they will go round. And I decree in the name of Jesus, the testimonies you hear in this faith adventure, as the meeting closes, there will be duplication of testimonies. Duplication of testimonies. duplication of testimonies. I was teaching recently. It's in your church, Sam McCordy. I remember I made this statement. I said, as this meeting closed, that's end of July. I said, in August, you will share your testimony. You will think you are exaggerating. And how many of you know when God uses us as preachers to give a word, we are partakers of it too? No, I didn't come here just to speak to you. The oil runs from the head and down. Do you understand? So it's beginning with me. Point to me, say it's beginning here. God is my witness, I'm not lying. By the third week of August, three times I was preaching. No, third week, last week. Three times I was preaching. I wanted to share a testimony of mine. I thought I was exaggerating, so I kept quiet. In fact, by the third time, I say, excuse me, I picked my handset. They thought it's scripture I want to check. I was confirming account statement. I said, you mean this is my account? It looks like I am exaggerating. You will share your testimony, you will think you're exaggerating. You see that? I mean, you yourself will share your testimony. You yourself will tap yourself and say, wait, wait, small. I hope I'm not exaggerating. You know why? Whatever the Holy Ghost revealed is ours for the taking. Can I talk to someone? What I said now is not in my notebook. It is revealed for your taking. I say it is revealed for your taking. I don't know how many testimonies you've had from Sunday, but listen to me. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, right on to Sunday, you'll be hearing testimonies upon testimonies, because after this meeting, you'll be gathering your testimonies in baskets. I say it's yours for the taking. Shout an amen. It's yours for the taking. I say it's yours for the taking. You know, yesterday Reverend Okpara shared some testimonies with us that you want to say, wait, wait, do you mean what you are saying? It's not for your oppression, not for your intimidation. Are you hearing me? The same blood that saved them saved you. The same Holy Ghost in them is in you. The same word of God is what you carry. The same name of Jesus. And I decree, it's your time to testify. I hear something in my spirit. Can I say it? All right. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 from verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Hello? Are we in the house? So this young man knew something. That there is a portion that belongs to him. Are you with me? And how many of us know that's what the Holy Ghost does to us as he leads us? He makes us know what belongs to us. Did anyone hear me at all? He makes us what? Know what belongs to us. Now, when you know what belongs to you, like this young man, what happened? Okay, the father divided unto them his livelihood. He knew what belonged to them. Help me read the next thing. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all. The moment he knew what belonged to him, the Bible said, not many days after, he gathered all. In this meeting, are you getting to know what belongs to you? Not many days after Faith Adventure, you will start gathering. 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 Can I talk to one person that believe me? Just one person, not two. Can I talk to one person that believe me? On Sunday after Faith Adventure, another program will begin, beginning from 15th of September. It is called In Gathering. In Gathering. You will keep gathering until the next Faith Adventure. In the name of Jesus, you will gather. I say you will gather. I say you will gather. In the name of Jesus. This parable is interesting. This young man did not only gather what is his. He gathered, he went and squandered all. And after all the squandering, he came The one that his brother refused to gather, he started gathering again. Let me talk to you. Your neighbor that is not believing what I'm saying, you will gather yours and gather his own. I hear in my spirit, nothing shall be wasted. There is a mighty supply here and nothing shall be wasted. We are gathering all in the name of Jesus. Everything revealed, we are taking. Say, I take in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a shout, please. When the Holy Ghost reveals something, it's time for the taking. Do you understand? It's like you visit a friend, and rather than just having you a drink, he said, "Ah, come over here." He brings you by his fridge, refrigerator, and opens. He said, "Take what you want." What he's showing you is everything here belongs to you. So you just keep taking. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. All things are ours. But when it's time for you to take something, he will show you. You didn't hear me. I said, when it's time for you to take something, he shows you. I was at camp meeting, sir. I had Colonel Moyo shared a testimony of how he and his wife declared 21 days fasting, and that year they built a house. The following year, 40 days fasting, they bought a house. I said, is it not fasting? I know how to fast too. You say, it's not just the fasting. Can I tell you something? If you are zealous about doing right, even if your zeal is without knowledge, knowledge will meet you. Am I at Faith Adventure? You are zealous about doing something for God. Even if your zeal is without knowledge, God will send knowledge to meet you. You know, among believers, in reference to zeal, there are three or four kinds of believers. Praise God. The one we know most popular, let me start with, those that have zeal without knowledge. You see that with new converts a lot. You say, open your mouth, Holy Spirit will jump in, they'll go, I love new convert. They are zealous about everything. That's why when somebody get born again newly and get filled with the Holy Ghost, you find out that his growth rate is rapid. How many of us have noticed that? I mean, you go pew, then when your knowledge increases, you begin to. And God said to me, if you must make progress in life, new convert zeal should be your lifetime zeal. Paul said he exceeded in zeal above every other one. Be zealous, child of God. Be zealous. He was zealously persecuting the church. So when he got saved, he used the same zeal to build the church everywhere. Be zealous. Believers that are not zealous are not my friend. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Zeal without knowledge. Then we have another one. Knowledge without zeal. That one is bad. You see, if a man is zealous without knowledge, he's just zealous. No knowledge. You know what God will do? He will lead him to where he will find knowledge. That's why many of you are led to Faith Adventure. God has seen your zeal. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Knowledge always locates a zealous person. Then there is a third category, which is the best. Zeal plus knowledge. Add zeal to your knowledge and enjoy progress. The fourth category, I pray that none of you become that kind. No pastor wants that kind in his church at all. Number four, no knowledge, no zeal. That one is dead. He has no knowledge. He has no zeal. You ask him, have you heard about manifestation of the spirit? He said, I don't even know whether there's spirit and I don't want to know. Just leave me where I am. If you have no knowledge, no zeal, say hallelujah. Okay, I want to be sure nobody is sleeping. If you love to move with zeal and knowledge, give the Lord a shout in the house. Rabatega mabalegeda hebrata libredi shapana. You know, but just as in the natural, digestion, absorption, and exercise help growth as you feed. When you feed, there has to be digestion, what? Absorption and exercise. Likewise, in the realm of the spirit, the zeal represents your digestion, absorption, and exercise. If you are utilizing all the knowledge you are receiving, God will multiply knowledge your way. So God does not reveal anything for entertainment. Amen? It's ours for the taking. So, I mean, not many days after, this guy gathered all. And we are gathering in this faith adventure. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you remember, we're reading verse 12. But God has revealed them to us through his spirit. For the spirit searches all things, yeah, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of a man, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Next verse. These things we also speak, not in words. Now, what are the things we are speaking? The things that the Spirit reveals. Is that not so? When he reveals something, he is leading us. He is guiding us. So, what he reveals, Paul says, they are the things we speak. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. See, the language has changed. But which the Holy Spirit teaches. I thought you are talking about the Holy Spirit revealing. Are you with me? From Holy Spirit revealing, he now switch and talk about Holy Spirit teaching. You know why? Whatever he reveals, that is what he's teaching. Praise the Lord. Whatever he reveals, that is what he is teaching. Now you wonder why I stay long on this. The Holy Spirit says, anytime you are teaching spirit-led life, emphasize this, let the people know. Anytime you open your Bible and the Holy Ghost begins to teach you, light comes from the word, you are receiving direction. Don't get light from the word and be waiting there for, okay, what will God have me to do? Anytime you don't have a specific instruction, follow the written word. Follow the written instruction. And you'll never be wrong. Anytime you don't have a specific instruction, follow what is written and you will never be wrong. Hallelujah. That is why Bible reading, Bible studies, Bible meditation position us well to be led by the Spirit. Because you're exposing yourself to the teaching of God's word. The entrance of his word giveth what? Light. What does light give? Direction. So anytime his word enters us, direction has found us. Say an amen. All right, back to Isaiah. Praise God. Now, dealing with the leading of the Spirit, God introduced himself six different ways here. First, he said, God says, the Lord. I want us to personalize it. Say, my Lord. So first, he is my Lord. Number two, my Redeemer. Number three, the Holy One of Joshua. Did you get that? Put your name there. No Israel here. It's you. Is the Holy One of Joshua. Say amen. I am the Lord your God. Number four, he's your God. Your God or my God. Number five, who teaches? He is my teacher. My teacher. And then he said, who leads you? by the way you should go. He is my leader or my guide or my shepherd. Now listen to me, child of God. Each one of these six define to us principles of divine guidance. Each one of them. I may not pick them in that order. I will pick them the way they are in my heart. And then I will just be done. Say amen. So, permit me to pick number five first. Who teaches you to profit? My teacher. My teacher. One way God leads us, like I said repeatedly, is by teaching. Say amen. And what does he do? He teaches us to profit. Say amen. Now, take this verse and go with me to Isaiah 54, verse 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord. Remember, this was said to the fathers. So we are the children in reference here. Are you with me? It's not really just about our biological children. Yes, they can partake. But this was said to the fathers. So we are the children. All your children shall be taught by the Lord. What did we say is synonym of being taught by the Lord? Being led. So let's read it that way. All your children shall be led by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. What is peace? Shalom. Prosperity. So if you are led by the Spirit, great shall be your prosperity. If you are led by the Spirit, what will happen? Great shall be your prosperity. Listen to me, child of God. You are not serious about prosperity if you are not committed to the Spirit-led life. I think I should say that again. Oh, I want to be prosperous. I want to be a millionaire. Have you learned how God leads? No, that's not important. It's just the money I want. You are not serious about prosperity if you have not learned how God leads. You know why? He will lead you to where you will be prosperous. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He knows exactly where the answer you are seeking for is. So God said to me, and he blessed me. He said, your commitment to the Spirit-led life is your commitment to a prosperous life. It's your commitment to a prosperous and a successful life. You want to be prosperous. You want to be successful. Get committed to the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Makibala Sisa. Kai, Lord. I follow my heart and jump again. Acts 13, verse 2. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. You can read with me. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Oh, fasting is in the New Testament. All right. Let's read it again. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. When did the Holy Spirit say? As they ministered to the Lord. As they ministered to the Lord. Amen. In some other scriptures, especially if you read Acts, you will read something like, while Paul prayed, he was in a trance. While Peter prayed, he was in a trance. While this one prayed, he had a vision. Now, a general word for that is fellowshipping with God. You minister to him, praise and worship. You pray in the Holy Ghost, prayer, praise God. Now, but at each instance, while they fellowship with God, there is a response. What is it? The Holy Ghost said. Direction became obvious. Direction is not free of charge. There's a price you have to pay. The price we pay to purchase direction is called fellowship. The price we use to purchase direction is what? Fellowship. Every believer wants divine direction. God wants our fellowship. We want his direction. He wants our fellowship. So he hid our direction in the place of fellowship. So that as we give him what he wants, fellowship, we will get what we want, called what? Direction. If you want direction, bring what? Fellowship. If you want direction, bring what? Just like in the natural. Listen. There is a threshold of fellowship where direction becomes inevitable. If you are not getting direction, fellowship, you never reach threshold. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, let me give you a simple example. I want to buy juice, a pack of juice. How much is it, sir? He said 500 naira. Then I bring out 20 naira. He said, no, that one is pure water you get. Are you with me? I augment it to 150. He said, that's a bottle of Coke. You want juice? 500. I give 450. He said, no, you have not reached. That's three bottles of Coke. But as soon as 500 appear, a pack of juice appear. Oh, pastor, I've been praying. God, I've not been saying anything. It has not reached threshold. That means pray until you receive direction. Are you getting what I'm saying? Prayer in itself is not an end. I've said that repeatedly. It's a means to an end. Like we are told, it's two-way traffic. When you talk to God, you should hear from him before going out. Don't just come to pray and do in Jesus' name. Amen. Kai, we have sweated today in prayer. Is it sweating you want or you want result? But if you want result, you want direction. Tarry long enough in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. You know, sometimes people just want direction without fellowship. Sometimes that's what people want. Just direction, no fellowship. But God wants us to have both. Say amen. Pastor D, come please. Hallelujah. Sorry for pulling you out suddenly. It feels right to use you. Let's assume God open door. Praise God for your husband to go do an assignment in UK and for. No, don't say amen yet, please. I hope you still like the prophecy when I'm through. So he said for these 2 years I'll be in UK. You and him agreed that you'll be in Nigeria. You'll be with pastor and his wife. You believe pastor so much? You believe in him so much? Absolutely. Yeah. So your husband tells you, this assignment I'm doing over there, every month will have at least £1 million. But then, you are with pastor in Abuja. Praise the Lord. He now says, monthly, out of that £1 million, or let me say, £2 million. I will send 1.5 to you. I will just keep 0.5. But you see, what will happen is, since you trust pastor so much, I will not call you all through the 2 years I'm there. Anything you need, I will tell pastor to tell you. You need check, you need anything, pastor will tell you where it is. And you go, will you like that?
No.
I thought you believe in pastor.
I won't like that.
Why now? What else do you want? Is it not just money come and money has come?
No, I want direct communication.
She said she wants direct communication. But whatever direction you need, pastor is telling you. You see that? People of God, that is the problem when believers travel around seeking prophecies. They will be getting direction from the man of God, but will not have fellowship with the God. You may as well say amen.
Amen.
God desires to use his servants prophetically to speak to you, but that's not his best. His best is that one-to-one, face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, he tells you what you want. Say an amen.
Amen.
Fellowship first, before what? Direction. Now, see another danger here. If If all the information she gets from her husband, all communication is through pastor, she never gets to fellowship with her husband, there will never be fruit of the womb. She will have plenteous direction. Maybe pastor calls her 50 times a day to say what her husband is saying. She will have plenteous direction, but no fruit. What does that tell you? Fellowship empowers direction to be fruitful. So God does not just give us fellowship to get direction. After you have received the direction, you should be empowered for fruition. That is why. Sorry, you soon sit down. Just a minute. That is why for many believers, they have received many prophetic words, but no fruit to show. Because what empowers direction to be fruitful is what? Fellowship. Fellowship births direction, and fellowship sustains direction. It's not enough to know what God wants you to do. Keep fellowshipping with Him until you're empowered to do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying, people of God? If you want direction, give Him fellowship. If you want direction, give Him fellowship. Your commitment to fellowshipping with God is your commitment to receiving divine guidance. I'm telling you, your commitment to fellowshipping with God is your commitment to receiving divine guidance or direction. And your commitment to direction is your commitment to prosperity, to a successful life. So the summary is, this big word given to us called prosperous and successful life begins with fellowshipping with the Father. Now, when I talk, I like to give a balance, because somebody will go out here and say, oh, pastor said we don't need prophetic word. No, get a balance. Let me show you how it works. Now, she is in Nigeria. Are you with me? Her husband is in UK. Well, she's used to the husband sending 1.5 million, and she's used to it. Then the husband says something like, tomorrow by 5 p.m., you'll receive a private jet. She said, I beg, stop this joke. I like serious things. Have you been saving? You say, no, but you are receiving a private jet. The husband talked to her for like 1 hour to convince her about that, and she will not believe. She just feels he's pulling her leg. Are you with me? Then, as soon as she drops the call, Reverend Tokula appears in her house. She's still saying, welcome. Then Rev appears. Then Reverend Okpara appears. What's happening? Reverend TB appears. And I also appear. Five of us. And each one of us say the same thing. Your husband sent me to tell you that tomorrow you are having a private jet. He said that so that you will not doubt. You can see those people he has sent. Now, based on the integrity of those people, you are fully persuaded that he's not joking. So what did the husband do? He sent us to confirm what he has told her in fellowship. What does God do with prophetic ministry? He sent prophets to bring confirmation of his dealings with you in the privacy. So if you don't have any dealing in the privacy, a prophet will probably lay hand on your head sharply. I see your ears open. Ear open. You know why? You have to hear from God before I come and confirm it. Say an amen. If you want direction, give Him what? Fellowship. Very simple. If you want direction, what should you give Him? Fellowship. Now, see how they connect. As they minister to who? Call it aloud. To who? Now, take it back to Isaiah 54. Sorry, is it 54 we are reading? 48 verse 17. Let's see how the leading of the Spirit begins there. It begins with one phrase. Thus says who? The Lord! The beginning of the leading of the Spirit is the Lordship of Jesus. And what should I do to the Lord? First, minister to Him. If you want to be led by the Lord, spend time with the Lord. I love that expression. If you want to be led by the Lord, what should you do? Spend time with the Lord. You find it in Isaiah 48. Leading of the Spirit begins with, thus says the Lord. What about Psalm 23? How does it begin? Psalm 23 verse 1, quickly. Psalm 23, 1, read it again. The Lord is my shepherd. So can we make a safe statement here? Both in Psalm 23 and Isaiah 48, we notice in talking about the leading of the Spirit, God began by introducing himself as Lord, your Lord. The leading of the Spirit begins with the Lordship of Jesus. If you enthrone his lordship, you will be led by him. I need to say that again. If you enthrone his lordship, you will be led by him. The leading of the Spirit begins with the lordship of Jesus. If you enthrone his lordship, you'll be led by him. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Now this introduction is getting better now. I say, praise the Lord. Alright, quickly let me say some things so that I will find a good landing space. The leading of the Spirit begins with what? The Lordship of Jesus. To begin with, if he's not your Lord, you don't have a right to be led. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Is that not so? It's a sonship right. So he should be your Lord in salvation. Before you will enjoy that. Say an amen. Now listen to me quickly. Quickly. It's good. The lordship of Jesus can be divided into three categories. Three. And each one of them, once you engage, you receive direction. The lordship of Jesus can be divided into three. Three. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number one is the lordship of the word. Remember, Jesus is the word made manifest. The word became flesh and is manifest among us. Amen. Jesus is the word of God. So the lordship of Jesus is the lordship of his word. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 1. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. Don't worry. John chapter 1 verse 1. Let's read the first sentence together. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. Now, we know God never changes. So, what he was, he is, and he will be. Is that not so? Now, let's read it in present tense. Maybe you get what I'm trying to communicate here. One, two, go. In the beginning is the word. The word is with God. And the word... Say amen. All right, let's take it very simple. I'm blessed. I'm blessed just reading this. In the beginning is what? Let's say it three times. In the beginning is what? Word. Say it for the last time. In the beginning is what? Word. In the beginning of the Spirit-led life is the word. No word, no leading of the Spirit. Everything in this kingdom begins with the word. No word, no leading of the Spirit. You want to be led by God, get his word in you. 1 Samuel 3:1. Let me explain that quickly. Many believers want to hear the voice of God, but they don't want to learn the language of God. Anytime we are reading the Bible, we are learning the language of God. We are getting acquainted with his language. God uses the written word to train us how to hear his voice. Say an amen. Now, the boy, Samuel, minister to the... Can you see what we explained earlier? Minister to the Lord. No wonder he had the voice of God. He ministered to the Lord. But that's not what I'm going to. And hey, I like this. And the word of the Lord was what? Rare in those days. And there was no widespread revelation. Old King James says, there was no open vision. What does open vision represent? Guidance. Now see something you are reading there. The word, Chijada, verse 1. The word was rare and no guidance. Okay, now, thank you. The word was scarce, no guidance. If you want direction, abound in the word. The word was scarce and there was no guidance. So, child of God, when you want direction from God, open the Bible like Pastor TB was telling us. All scripture are written. Turn from Genesis to Revelation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Read what he's saying in that book. As you read, you will get to know first his character. You will get to know his person. You will get to know his language. So that even from his silence, you hear what he's saying. Say amen, please, if you're in the house. Say amen, please, if you're in the house. If something happened when we were in Otta, that minister's meeting, that Kenneth Copeland came, you know. Kenneth Copeland finished teaching and he called for those who want to speak in other tongues to come out. I told my wife, I want Copeland to touch me or I should touch him. And from the way this thing is going, it looked there will be no touching. So I said, those who want to speak in tongues, I told her, I will go out. I say, I'll go out. As soon as I go there, I will just touch him. Before protocol, I will do back. She tapped me. She said, you think nobody knows you here? I said, nobody knows me here. Nobody knows me. I will just go there. I mean, before protocol, I will just grab the leg. Before they say, no, I will be speaking in tongues. They will say, yeah, power of God, power of God. And you know, Brother Copeland, I said, leave him alone. Let him follow us. Hallelujah. She said, behave yourself. Pastor TB was beside me. He didn't hear what we were saying. He said, behave yourself. You think no one knows you? At least Pastor TB is here. I said, no, that one will settle later. Let me just go. You know what happened? After that session, three different pastors of Living Faith, three different, came to me separately. Sir, Pastor Tende? Yes. I got filled with the Holy Ghost by reading your book, Must Everyone Speak in Tongues? I say, hey, Kabaye, I for don't enter. They say, see this man. Who? You know what that tells me? When you appear in a place and you think no one knows you, think again. Bishop Mrs. Ishaya Audu made a statement long time ago, I've never forgotten. She said her grandmother told her, he said, those who are in the light do not know that those who are in the dark are seeing them. Child of God, as you carry the name of Jesus everywhere, people are reading you like they read Bible. They are reading your life. So be cautious of the things you do. You are an open book. I don't just assume they don't know you. Yeah, your doubt will be cleared. And the next day, two others came to you. Is under your meeting, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, and they will see me coming too. To touch Copeland. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you? Are you sure you want it? If touching Copeland is necessary for my destiny, as I follow the leading of the Spirit, it will happen with ease. So whatever is required for your destiny, as you follow the Spirit, he will lead you there. He will lead you there. There are many things you've troubled yourself with. Just be led. Help me whisper to someone. Be led. Tell another one, be led. And you arrive safely. The boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was scarce in those days. No word, no direction. And God called Samuel repeatedly, and Samuel did not understand that it's God. Look at verse 7. We all know this story. God called Samuel like 3 times. He didn't know it's God. Why? Look at, let's read it together. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Because the word was not yet revealed to him, he did not know his voice. So I say it this way. If you want to know the voice of God, you must know his person. And to know his person, you must know his word. The leading of the Spirit begins with the Lordship of Jesus. Lordship of the word. In the beginning is the word. If you want to hear the voice of God, keep your Bible open. If you want to hear the voice of God, what should you do? Keep your Bible open. I have a very interesting statement. One Yoruba preacher sometime in Zaria was sharing with us, this should be 1996, thereabout, or 1993. He said something, it blessed me. Maybe it's not the weight of what he said, it's the way he said it. He said it this way, if you give the Lord your attention, you will not have the tension that will give you hypertension. If you give the Lord your attention, you will not have the tension that will give you hypertension. You know tension? It's the Ogbomosho way of saying tension. Now, listen. How many of us realize that whatever you give attention to gives you direction? Is that not so? Whatever you give attention to will give you what? Direction. So, if you give the word of God your attention, the word of God will give you direction. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm blessed saying that. I will say it again. If you give the word of God your attention, the word of God will give you what? Direction. Let's read the Proverbs chapter 6, quickly, verse 20. Oh, hallelujah. My son, keep your father's command. Now, that's the word of God. Command the word of God. And do not forsake the word of your mother. That's still the word of God. Yes? Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. That means meditate on the word day and night. Why? When you roam, what will they do? They will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will what? Speak with you. That means if you give the word your attention, hallelujah, when you begin to walk, the word will give you direction. You know, I told you earlier, the first prize we use to purchase direction, I say, is what? Fellowship. The second prize is what? Attention. Attention. You need direction from God. Give God, give his word your attention. The Lordship of Jesus. One, it means the Lordship of the word. Give the word undivided attention. Now, it also means let the word become Lord. Let the word dominate your life. You see, if you do not show respect for the word written by God, you will not attract the word spoken by God. Let the word dominate your life. Let the word be your final authority. Think the word, talk the word, act the word. I say that again. Think the word, talk the word, act the word. Let the word of God dominate your mindset. That explains the scripture Reverend TB read for us, Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. With what? With the word of God, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Let the word dominate your mind. Kenneth Copeland said that The greatest decision he made after making Jesus his Lord is the decision to make the word of God final authority in his life. He said, he and Gloria, you know, got born again about the same time. They just held hand and agreed that, Gloria, anything we see in this Bible will do. Now, when you make that commitment, even if you're about to do something there that is not applicable to you, the Spirit will show up. The inward check. Are you with me now? Doing the word. Doing the word. That's why I understand perfectly what Reverend TB was explaining to us about keeping a good conscience. Doing the word positions us to be led. Doing the word positions us to be led by the Spirit. Doing the word. Hallelujah. I think I said it here, is it yesterday or day before, it bears repetition, that God says to me, said to me, when we ignore daily Bible reading, we forfeit our right to be led by the Spirit. Daily Bible reading is not a religious activity. It's direction receiving moment. Read. Read. You know what? Let me tell you. Because when we say read, some people say, because you are preaching. I read my Bible this morning, but I did not read Isaiah 48:17. I did not read what to teach. I read what to live. Because the Bible is a living manual and not a teaching manual. Say an amen. You get there for living. I was just reading. I was just reading. And I found a direction that is necessary for me. If you want direction, open your Bible. Open the epistles. Open Acts. Open four gospels. Open Psalms. Open Proverbs. Open the prophets. Thank you, sir. Open Moses. Open. Praise the Lord. Anybody thinking like I'm doing? Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Let me share this with you. All right. We read about Philip. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Please read it. There's something there that will bless us all. Acts chapter 8, verse 27, I believe. Let me see. 27, thereabout. Yes. The Spirit led Philip to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. So let's read from here. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. 28. Let's go there. Quickly, please. Was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then, Isaiah, yes. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You see, I told you digression can also bless us. But what did Philip say, join... The Spirit said, join this chariot. What did Philip do? Read on, next verse, please. And Philip ran thither to him and had him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I? Next, understandest thou what? And he said, how can I, except some men should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up, join him and sit with him. Please, listen, listen. The Holy Spirit said, go and join the chariot. But Philip did not join the chariot. He ran and was doing mark time beside the Ethiopian eunuch until he told him, come in. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like a man parks his Range Rover 2020 model. The Spirit say, go inside. You go and open the door. Kabaye, you have entered. One chance. Now, but I want you to watch. The Spirit says, go and join. But Philip went. He didn't join. He was running alongside, waiting for the man to invite him to step in. What does that tell you? When the leading of the Spirit involves a second party, use wisdom. Did you hear what I said? Use wisdom. When God leads you, he does not expect you to remove common sense and sit on it. A man of God, he said, the Bible says, when, now, it's just comedy. That when men enter church, they should remove their cap. He said, but today, when believers enter church, they remove their brain and sit on it. So anything they say, they just follow. Use your sense. If the leading of the Spirit involves the second party, use wisdom. If God tells you that Shekoli Bleke is your husband, don't go to Shekoli Bleke and say, thus hear the Lord, you are my husband. You know why? What he told Zachariah, he told Elizabeth. What he told Joseph, he told Mary. What he told Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch had to pick it to and give an interpretation. God said, Shekoli Bleke is your husband. What should you do? Go around Shekoli Bleke. Are you with me now? Let him see you. Every service, when they say greet your neighbor, make sure you greet Shekoli Bleke very well. Hallelujah. The close faith adventure, you immediately serve Shekoli Bleke's food before you take your own. Then you said, Kai, how is faith adventure? I know you are blessed. And Kai, I'm sure you are very tired. Do you have clothes for washing? Shekoli Bleke say, sister, why are you doing all this? He said, no, it's just my nature. I'm generally nice. You can ask your friend too. I do the same service to him. Now you have started sending a message. If God has not spoken, you will ask the Lord, what about this one? But then, fine sister like you, you wake up. Thus hear the Lord, you are my husband. He will look at you and say, thus saith my spirit, I'm a eunuch. Use wisdom. Say hallelujah. What should you do? Use wisdom. What should you do? I'm sorry to say, but I've seen some pastors that do not use wisdom when it comes to ethics. If I go ministering somewhere and the Spirit shows me Shekoli Bleke and said, tell Shekoli Bleke to follow you, I cannot say that. I will lay hand on him and say, Lord, cause him to see what you have shown me. It's unethical to go pulling people out of their locations. I have a pastor with me now, Pastor Tim. When I first met him, he was a student on campus, very zealous, loving the Lord. Praise God. As I sighted my eyes on him, the Lord said to me, tell this young man, if he loves his future, he should follow you. I say, how? It was in an interdenominational fellowship. You could have boldly done that because it's not really attached anywhere. So I called him out. I called some other people. I called him. I said, brother, can I lay hand on you? He said, yes, sir. So I laid hand on him. And I said, Lord, cause him to see what you have shown me. And cause him to hear what you've spoken to me. You see, the same spirit I have, he has. Husband, you want to make a major decision, ask the consent of your wife. But she's not that spiritual. Give her time, she will pick it. Ask God to reveal to her, she will pick it. You need wisdom when a third party is involved. So I laid hand on him. When he got up, I had passed. I looked at him. The Spirit said, it's partial blindness. He's not seeing well. I said, come again. I laid hand the second time. Praise God. Now he was seeing. I was going. Spirit said, now he's seeing, but he's doubting. I laid hand on him again. I said, every doubt cleared. The next Sunday, he was in church. So I took time to welcome first-timers myself. Oh, you came. Nice meeting you. I said, will you come back again? He said, no. I said, I want to lay hand on first-timers. And he's the target. Lord, this man cannot miss your instruction. After like 3 months, he came back. He said, sir, the Lord said, if I love my future, I should follow you. I said, really? He has been telling me long. You are just hearing. When a third party is involved, use what? Okay. He desired that someone, Philip, would sit with him and explain to him. He did not understand what he's reading. Now, let's read on. I want to say something that will bless you. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. He was reading from Isaiah 53, isn't it? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip, beginning from the same scripture, preached Jesus to him. Here is my question. Answer. If Philip had never read this portion in Isaiah, could he have been used by the Spirit to bring salvation to the Ethiopian eunuch? Probably he would tell, if Philip had not read it, you say, which one is this? Maybe it's Quran. If he had not read it, he would limit his availability to be used. And God said to me, we limit our potential to be used by the Lord when we ignore regular Bible reading. We just limit. God wants to use us, he cannot. We are not reading. We ignore regular Bible reading, so he wants to use us, but he cannot. He's constrained. If you want to be used of God, open the Bible. See, thank God for daily devotionals. Thank God for them, beautiful devotionals. They have helped us. They are guides. They are not substitute to Bible reading. Before you pick a devotional, pick the Bible. Say amen if you are born again. Because if you read my devotional, you are reading what God says plus my comment. But when you pick the Bible, it's thus saith the Lord, you are reading. Let a believer say amen. Are you blessed? All right. In conclusion, remember the Lordship of Jesus is three. Number one is what? The Lordship of the Word. Number two. No, I've not told you. I have not told you. I want to say it. I hear you echoing it. Number two, under the Lordship of Jesus, is called developing the human spirit. If you allow the Word to dominate you, you'll be developing your spirit. How? By meditating on the Word, practicing the Word, giving the Word first place, and promptly following the voice of your heart. Amen. Now, you find all of them have to do with the Word. Meditating on the Word, practicing the Word, giving the Word first place, and following the voice of your spirit. I was too fast, isn't it? Is it okay by you say amen? All right, thank you. Number three, which is the last one? Lordship of Jesus, the last one. Seeking to glorify him in all things. Seeking to glorify him in how many things? All things. Let me read two scriptures on that as we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 30. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 30 and 31. I believe. Thank you, Jesus. Seeking to glorify Jesus in all. But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Yes, 31, please. Therefore, let's read it together. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to what? To the glory of God. Here is a master key to the spirit-led life. Ask yourself, what I'm about to do, will it glorify God? If it will not, just stop. The decision I'm about to take, will it glorify God? This is a master key to being led by the Spirit. Doing all to the glory of God. You know why it is so? John 16, 13 to 14. Hallelujah. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now see his assignment. He will guide us. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Look at verse 14. What a blessing. He will what? Say it aloud. He will what? Glorify Jesus, for he would take what is of God and declare it unto us. Wow. Jesus here tells us that anytime the Spirit leads us, he glorifies Jesus. Anytime he leads us, Jesus is glorified. I want to make three statements here that will bless you. Anytime he leads us, what happened? Jesus is glorified. I want to ask you, how often do you think the Holy Spirit wants to glorify Jesus? So he will lead us always. He will lead us always because he wants Jesus glorified. The second thing you should learn here, very beautiful. It means the leading, every time I am led, I glorify Jesus. Every time I am led, I glorify Jesus. So the leading of the Spirit is an act of worship. It's not just an ambition of someone that wants to display spiritual CVC, I hear the voice of God. No, it's an act of worship. Being led by the Spirit of God is as important as you kneeling down and worshiping God. Both of them glorify Jesus. It's an act of worship. So if you are committed to Spirit-led life, you are worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. In conclusion, I love my conclusion. Are you ready for my conclusion? Every thought that encourages you to glorify Jesus is the leading of the Spirit. Every thought and every suggestion. You say, there's this thought in my mind, to preach Jesus to this my neighbor. My neighbor's child is doing bad. There's this thought in my mind to sponsor the bad day and ask for 10 minutes to preach Jesus. Will Jesus be glorified? Is the leading of the Spirit. Every thought that glorifies God is the leading of the Spirit. Every suggestion. There's this thought in my mind, though. I don't even know whether it's God. But there's this thought in my mind to just give sacrificially for this program. Will Jesus be glorified? Is the leading of the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit is so simple. You have to pay some mysterious people to confuse you. Thoughts that glorify God. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Are you blessed this afternoon? Let's give him thanks. Give him glory now. Give him glory. Hallelujah.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it. Because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.